episode 94 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, and if you can't figure it out, then you're too dumb to be listening. It's Rebecca. She's back.
Don't insult our listeners.
I know. I'm sorry. You're not too dumb to be listening. It just means that you need to go back and listen to our back catalog, because Rebecca is typically the beer admin, as I call her, for this podcast, and she's sitting in as co-host for the episode.
Co-host. A very, very special Brutal Battle first time ever episode. Right.
Because we did try before where we had Rebecca on and she did the mystery beer tasting, but I wasn't 100% blind on that. I didn't know what the beers were, but I knew what the brewery was for each of those beers. So this is the first instance where I don't know the brewery, I don't know the beers, and same thing with Rebecca. You may be asking yourself, how's that possible? Well, with a little bit of help from our buddy Mike Johnzak, who's been on the show a few times prior, go ahead and search for episodes with him on them. He's a good guy. I contacted him and said, hey, is there a way you can pick out some beers at the store, wrap them up, black out the caps, make sure that I don't know what it is, and then just have it waiting for me at the counter so I can come in and purchase. It's exactly what he did. He really wrapped these beers up too. Like brown, individual bottle-sized brown bags, totally wrapped them up, taped them up so that you can't even see anything on the bags, and then he blacked out the cap tops so you can't see what the cap says if there are any identifying marks on that. So going into this 100% blind, and also when I showed up and they rung me up, he had left instructions for them to ring it up as just beer, because usually it says what the actual beer is. Like it'll say, you know, it's Green Flash Road Warrior or something like that, but it just rings up as beer. And then it has the price, but how are you going to figure anything out based on that?
So the only thing we do know is that it's, you know, two 12-ounce beers.
I mean, that's all we know, is that there are 12-ouncers. But there's so many 12-ouncers out there, who knows? So very excited to do this. 100% blind for both of us.
So excited.
I know. We're going to see how this plays out. I'm hoping it's going to be awesome. I know it's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. And we have a warm-up beer.
Yeah, we have a warm-up beer. We're going all out.
Yeah, crazy night.
All the stops are coming out. So we're going to pop this open. This beer is called Red Rooster Ale. It's a West Coast Red Ale by Dempsey's Restaurant and Brewery, which is out of Petaluma, California. And the ABV on it is 6.2%. This was a beer that was sent to me by Danny Miller. Female Danny Miller. Yes. She had sent me a box of some Russian River and a few other things from California. She wanted to send some of her favorites as well, in addition to the Russian River stuff. So this Dempsey's Red Rooster Ale is one of her favorites, I guess.
Or maybe it's just because it's local, because she lives in Petaluma.
Oh, and Petaluma, if that sounds familiar to people, that's where Lagunitas is located.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that. Yes. So, good breweries out in her area.
Yeah.
Rebecca, if you would give me your glass, sure. I will pour you a little bit of this rooster, or Red Rooster. I keep saying it wrong. I haven't even had anything to drink, I swear.
Yeah.
There you go. So, we're just going to sip on this throughout the episode. But first, we'll talk a little bit about how it's smelling and tasting and all that. Coloration, I mean, there's not a whole lot of light where we're recording. That's my problem. My fault. It looks, I mean, it's a red, but it looks very, you know, amberish. A lot of reds will be, you know, amber in coloration, like a tinge of red to it. Because red and amber are kind of interchangeable as a style. But when it says on there that it's a West Coast red ale, I'm assuming it'll be kind of hoppier.
Okay.
Not 100% sure on that because we haven't smelled it, but... Smell that. It smells, yeah.
I mean, I know they're like East Coast IPA, West Coast IPA. Is there such a thing as an East Coast
Red Ale?
Red Ale?
Someone probably has done it or will do it or I don't know. That's the thing with styles in craft beer, especially in the United States. They keep coining all these new styles all the time. You know, like India Pale Lager didn't exist for a while, you know, and then all of a sudden, oh, there it is.
It's like real popular.
And these things just pop out of nowhere. I didn't know about Imperial Amber Ales until Troegs did Nugget Nectar. Right. And then there haven't been that many past Nugget Nectar, but there have been a few others.
I think there's some pros to come to that. You know, we've kind of talked about this in some other episodes about tasting blind and knowing what a beer is. And it's Six Point is the brewery that doesn't... have a style on it at all. It just has a name. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, which is interesting.
Pros and cons. Okay.
So the smell on this, I definitely get a little more hops than I typically get out of red ales.
Yeah.
Are you getting anything in particular? I know I smell the malt.
Yes. I was going to say that's the only notes I get.
It's just, pretty malty.
It smells like a beer.
It's
like,
got, to me, it has a little bit of like a honey note to it in the nose, a little bit of raisin as well, in addition to a little bit of that floral hoppiness. But it's not like crazy on the hoppiness either.
I feel like I get, it smells like a farm.
Okay.
You know, like the barley, the hay. Okay. The,
yeah. I mean, that's legitimate. Because
the hops, like, you know, it just smells like a farm.
Yeah, because like we said, we're smelling the malts. I'm smelling some of the honey. That makes sense. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and try it and see what it's doing.
Hmm.
Not getting...
Not much hops.
That's interesting.
What is that?
I do get a little bit of, like, a hay note in the flavor. I'm definitely getting hit up front with sweet malt. Like, the malt tastes kind of sweet.
There's a flavor in here I cannot identify, but I haven't really had in a beer, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I'm not... It's very drying on my tongue.
Yeah.
The finish is, like, very drying. It's 6.2% alcohol, but it's actually feeling, because of that drying note, like it's higher, like maybe like 9-ish or something. There's a significant bitterness at the end, which I think is helping out with that dryness. Bitterness is interesting. I'm definitely getting like a hay-type finish on the flavor, a little bit of that honey-type note.
There's something else in this, though. I can't...
It tastes a little bit carrot-like. A little bit of, like, a carrot note to it for me.
Hmm, interesting.
Which I do get from malts from time to time.
Really?
In things like ambers and reds. It's kind of weird. But maybe that's just me. Maybe the carrot descriptor is my own.
Yeah, I think it's...
And mine alone. Are you able to pick out... Are you getting a little apricot, maybe? Is that what you're...
I don't know.
It's kind of weird. Because apricot, to me, has a little bit of, like, a carroty note to it as well. So...
Because it's, like, orange in color, is that why?
No, I just think, to me, the smell of apricot has a little bit of, like, a carrot note to it. I get a little apricot.
I feel like I get cucumber.
Okay. I don't, but, I mean, that's what you pull out, that's what you pull out. I'm going to
like
say...
Like the skin of the cucumber.
Okay, like, get with the dryness that kind of comes along with that, a little bitter and dry. And, yeah, I can see that. I'd say overall, I'm not a big fan of this beer. It's not terrible, but I'm not a big fan because that dryness is very, very dry. And it's overpowering, and I feel like it overpowers a lot. And I'm mainly just getting that kind of like carrot, apricot, honey, which isn't, like I said, this isn't terrible, but it's just eh.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's not, I don't know if I feel anything. I don't feel... good nor bad. It's just kind of there.
The other thing is I don't know how old this beer is, because if it is on the older side, if there was a significant hoppy presence before, it's definitely died if it's an old beer, because I'm really not tasting significant hop presence on it. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's not terrible. I'll drink it. Thank you, Danny, for sending it. We'd like to try whatever people could recommend to us. It's not our thing, but, you know. If it's your thing, that's good.
It's nothing I'm going to dump out, though.
Yeah, I mean, we'll finish it. It's a 22-ounce, so fun. All right, so while we sip on this, I had a specific topic I wanted to talk about with you, Rebecca, because it's... Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Should I do hop knowledge?
I think that's what happens next, yes.
Oh, you think that's what happens next? You think you listen enough that you know that?
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for hop knowledge.
Hop knowledge.
Yeah, it's hop knowledge. So today's hop is Opal hops, which I had not heard of. It was a product of Hops Research Center in Hull, Germany, and it was bred around the turn of the 2nd century. Interesting. And it's a somewhat evasive hop variety in that it's not that easy to find. Well, that would make sense why I feel like I haven't really heard of it.
What's it called again?
Opal, O-P-A-L. Opal. Yeah, Opal. Bitterness in Opal hops is respectable and the aroma has substance. It's a combination of some spicy gusto mixed with tones of citrus. It's very much German and can be applied anywhere throughout the brewing process, in beer styles such as Pilsners, Hefeweizens, Hell's Lagers, and more. So that's stands up well to disease and fungus, apparently. So that's good.
Always good.
If you're looking to grow some hops that you want to be real resistant to disease and fungus, Opal hops would be those hops. A few examples of beers that have used Opal hops. Oscar Blues uses it in their Mama's Little Yellow Pils, which I actually have had and is a pretty nice pilsner. As well as Surly Brewing Company's, a brewery that I really love, use it in their Hell Lager, which we have had and quite like the Hell Lager as well. So, very cool. There's the hop knowledge for you. Sorry, I almost forgot it. But
I know.
Can't forget the hop knowledge.
It's because you're like, it's just...
I'm out of sorts.
Yeah, because I'm here and...
We're recording in a different place than...
Yeah, than usual.
The show usually is. And you know, I got these beers in front of me that I have no clue about. They're presented in a very different way. Well, I usually don't have a clue, but
you know. Crazy.
So the topic,
what's on the docket?
Yeah, the topic I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to get this as soon as possible because it's not like extremely close to when it actually happened, but close enough. In early November, Anheuser-Busch InBev purchased 10 Barrel Brewing, and 10 Barrel's out of Bend, Oregon, which is where Rebecca, your sister Emily, lives.
Oh, close to.
Close to it. Yeah, she lives in Corvallis. That's right. So in Bend, Oregon, 10 Barrel sold to Anheuser-Busch InBev. Now, it's not known like what the price was or anything. That's private. But
that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, but there's been a whole lot of hubbub about it because obviously there are people who are like, that's terrible. Anheuser-Busch InBev's such a big company. Like, that's the death of this, you know, young independent brewery. But I wanted to get your thoughts, and then I can add mine about whether you think this is a good move, a bad move. And honestly, I kind of want to hit everything. Like, I want to see what's good, what's bad about it. But your thoughts first on it, Rebecca.
Well, you know, coming into today, I knew this was going to be a topic you wanted to discuss. And, you know, when I first heard the news, I was like, oh, man, that sucks, you know. But then as I was thinking about it today, I'm like, that's kind of life. Like, that's kind of what happens, you know. You have a company that probably started small and worked up big enough and is being bought out. And, I don't know the owners, but maybe that's okay. Now they're going to use that money and they're going to retire. And that's all they ever wanted. And they, you know, made their dreams. And I don't know. I just kind of feel like I'm kind of indifferent.
Like it's their company to do with what they want.
Right. Like, I don't know. I don't feel any which way about it, I guess.
Well, and to me, my first reaction was, oh no, Anheuser-Busch InBev got its claws into another one. Because remember, some years back, Goose Island was purchased. And at that point, I was like, oh my God, I hope this really doesn't mess up their product. You know, they don't have like some terrible mismanagement of their brewery. And it really hasn't been that case. A lot of their stuff has kind of stayed the same. But on the other hand, with like Goose Island, it's kind of like if all the same people had stayed there from when it was independent, would things be different now? Like, would they have put out different, more exciting new beers? What direction would they have moved in, you know?
Right.
And it seemed like for the most part, things have moved kind of slowly with Goose Island since Anheuser-Busch InBev took over, in the sense that like new beers coming out. They were doing a lot of the same ones that they had been doing, and they were just kind of expanding how much they were doing and where it was getting distributed, like the Bourbon County beers and stuff like that. So there was that kind of aspect to it. So that could end up happening with 10 Barrel. But here's another thing. You know, you're saying it was kind of their thing to do with what they want. Yeah. It may have been their goal from the get-go to do that, because I know there's a guy I knew who was interested in trying to start a craft brewery a few years ago. And he said that his goal was to start it, make it successful, and see if he could sell it. So there are people out there, I'm sure, who start craft breweries to try and get up a reputation and see if someone will buy. And maybe 10 Barrel was one of those companies. Right. We don't know. You know, I don't know. There may be an article on it somewhere. I haven't come across it, but about that specifically. But on the negative side, in my opinion, is whenever small businesses sell to larger corporations, there's something that happens where the profits start getting siphoned out of that immediate community. And to me, I feel like that's a bad thing, because you want like communities to sustain themselves economically. And when you have something that's making a lot of money, like 10 Barrel, because obviously AB InBev wouldn't have purchased them if they weren't doing well. And it's, you know, the profits they're making, if they're locally owned and they're independent and small, the profits are going back into the local community. So then you have something like AB InBev coming, purchasing it. So the profits that are going to come out of that brewery are going to be siphoned out. You know, it's going to come out of Bend, Oregon. That's not really going to be re-spent there anymore. And that's one of the things that I really don't like about mm-hmm. any situation where a smaller company sells to a large company.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing I wanted to bring up about 10 Barrel, though, on the other side, is their distribution has just been in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big positives for them is Anheuser-Busch InBev has distribution everywhere.
Right.
Throughout the entire United States, so in other countries.
We could see some out here.
But first, obviously, you have to build up how much they're putting out.
Right.
And that's the other thing. Anheuser-Busch InBev has capital to throw behind the brewery so that they can say, hey, you have a great product. We're going to grow this thing. And then we're going to make sure that we can distribute it to every state in the United States and to other countries. You know, like that could happen. So if the quality stays the same, it could be a situation where people are like more people are going to be able to experience the beers. And I know that, you know, Erica, your sister, your younger sister, who's been on the show
mm-hmm.
before, she was out visiting Emily and they went to 10 Barrel and she loved the Cucumber Crush beer that they had. And when she heard about 10 Barrel selling, she immediately said, I hope that means I'm going to be able to get my hands on Cucumber mm-hmm. Crush.
Yeah.
So she was immediately thinking AB InBev, great distribution.
Right.
But you have to grow the brewing first.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I feel like in today's society, that's kind of, you know, where things are going. You know, you're having less and less of the small businesses and more of the big businesses. And, you know, I'm not sure, for better or worse, it's kind of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. But the other thing, something I didn't tell you about, or I don't know if you heard about or not, that I wanted to throw in here as kind of like a wrench in the gears of the discussion, is that a week after Anheuser-Busch InBev purchased 10 Barrel, Alpine Brewing out of Alpine, California, was purchased by Green Flash Brewing out of San Diego. So Green Flash is still considered a craft brewery, an independent craft brewery. So then there was this kind of thing of like people being like, oh, well, is this okay then? And people kind of being like, well, if you're saying that you're not okay with Anheuser-Busch InBev purchasing 10 Barrel, then you also should not be okay with Green Flash purchasing Alpine, because Green Flash coming in could stifle Alpine, you know, and, you know, mismanage them and make it so that their beers aren't the same quality, or, you know, a lot of the same worries that you have with Anheuser-Busch InBev taking over a brewery, you could have with Green Flash taking mm-hmm. over Alpine, because they're a different entity. But for some of the arguments that I just made, one of the things is it's in the same state, so it's closer, so the money would stay a lot within California, so it's a little more localized. But
Green Flash isn't as big of a corporation, though, either.
They're not huge, but here's the thing. Their distribution is massive.
Yeah.
So they're putting out a lot of beer, and they're just, their, you know, reach is so far. I'd actually pulled up a website I really like called SikaBrew.com, and you can see where beer breweries are distributed. And also you can click on, like, a state, and it'll tell you what breweries distribute to that state. Mm. So it's really cool. So Green Flash actually distributes to every state in the United States, except Alaska, Hawaii, Utah, Wyoming, Montana, and North Dakota, and West Virginia.
Weird.
That's it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Only 7 states they don't distribute
kind
to.
Kind of a random sampling of states that don't. Are well, there not a lot of craft beer drinkers in those states?
Well, no. I would think that what you have to think is the population. Like, Montana has a very small population. Right. So, same with, like, North Dakota, Wyoming, Utah. You know, things like that. Like, you probably want to keep it a little
West Virginia, more in though, the dense kind of surprises me.
Well, I don't know. Appalachian, I don't know.
We were just watching Moonshiner. On TV. They're all drinking moonshine.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, they always have different reasons for distributing certain places and not others. So, But the thing about Alpine is only distributed and limited in California. So by being purchased by Green Flash, their ability to get wider distribution has just gone through the roof.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, like we were talking about with the AB InBev 10 barrel, hopefully it would be a situation where they can, you know, grow the brewery enough that they can supply other states and eventually distribute everywhere that Green Flash does and make sure that the quality is still the same. Because I've heard the Alpine beers are really good, especially the real hoppy stuff.
So, you know, hearing that, it sounds like you're more against this, you know, being bought by other breweries. If and when 10 Barrel comes to the Maryland area, would you buy them?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I'm always wanting to try the beers, but the question then becomes, would I continue to buy them? Because I'm a ticker, so I'll buy just to try. Mm-hmm. But would I keep purchasing? I don't know.
What if there's a beer that you really, really like? Would you not buy it on principle?
It depends on how I feel. And I know that's a terrible answer, but I don't know. I mean, there was a time when I would say definitely yes. That's the way I would do it. On principle, I wouldn't. But I have been trying some Goose Island beers here and there, and they've been solid beers. You know, they're not bad beers, and it's Anheuser-Busch InBev owned, and, you know, I'm not hating it. Like, so, I don't know. But at the same time, I always, when I am paying for it, there is a little voice in my head like, oh man, you're giving the money to the evil empire.
I feel like it's always hard as a consumer because I think people want to do the right things. They want to support certain companies or not support others, but, you know, sometimes we don't really have that much of a choice.
That's true. The choice gets made for us.
Right.
Yeah. Think about all the small towns that have Walmart, and that's pretty much all they have because they come in and they just destroy everyone. Excuse me. They destroy everyone else around them financially because they drop their prices so low, and then everyone goes out of business, and then that's all they have.
Right.
Then there's no choice. I mean, obviously you'd say that they had a choice in the beginning, and they voted for Walmart by spending their dollars there. And that's true, but at the same time, your consumers aren't very conscious about those types of things. And
I feel like sometimes people are more conscious, but not until it's too late.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, I think
hindsight's 20/20 type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if they knew maybe what their actions would maybe lead to, they would maybe make different decisions, but.
And I do think, though, overall, the craft beer community is more informed on that type of stuff. So they do immediately have opinions about whether these acquisitions are good or not.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, regardless what happens with both these breweries. I would say overall, I think I would prefer that breweries stay independent just because then they can contribute economically to their local areas better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a big proponent of, you know, small economy. Keep economy small and keep them local. As opposed to globalization and stuff like that. So that's just my take on it. But, like, you know, I laid out some pros about it as well. So there's good and bad to it, in my opinion. But overall, I'd not like to see these acquisitions happen. But you can't stop it. It's going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
So any closing thoughts on that?
No, I think I said all I have to say. I'm ready to do these mystery beers.
Well, we have these straight up mystery beers in front of us. That Mike was so gracious to put together for us. Mike Johnzak, thank you. Big shout out to you. Yeah, the lighting in here is not the greatest. So I'll just go ahead and tell you. Beer A has a bit of a head to it. It's a little reddish. Mm-hmm. The beer itself is kind of red. Yeah, it's like a brown red, and you can see through it.
It almost looks like Coke.
Yeah, it kind of does. Which I know kind of like some barley wines have that kind of look to them.
I hope it's not a barley wine.
I don't know. It could be anything. It could be like an imperial red. I don't know. But, I mean, it looks, you know, pretty clear.
It looks like root beer.
And then I'll just, we'll just handle, you know, since the lighting's bad in here, we'll just handle the look of B as well. B.
Oh, okay. This is like, you're going way out of order right now.
B is dark as hell. Like, that is just like.
Yeah.
Black as night. Can't see through it. Not even around, well, a little bit around the edges, but barely. Gosh.
I took a whiff. I can't wait.
Okay. Well, let's do A first. The one that was reddish and you can see through in the right light. Let's go ahead and swirl that up. Do the cup and swirl.
Cup and swirl. I'm not really coordinated to do this.
I want to see what you think you smell in that.
I smell pee.
You smell pee? Is it like cat pee? Because sometimes hops can kind of give that cat pee smell. Or maybe our cat actually peed somewhere and we're going to need to clean that up.
Oh, no.
I would hope not. No, I don't
She's sleeping that. Now. Yeah. I don't think she did.
I get... Well, honeysuckle.
Honeysuckle?
Yeah, a tad bit of honeysuckle. I feel like I'm getting a little berry in here.
I don't know. I don't really... I'm not the best sniffer.
Not the best sniffer.
Yeah, I don't have the best nose.
I get a little raspberry note in there somehow.
Nope.
See if you can pull that out.
Nope. Not getting it.
Maybe not so much... Nope. I'm sorry, I gotta change that. Not so much raspberry. A little strawberry. When you get like a few deep whiffs in a row, get a little bit of like a strawberry sweetness coming off it.
Oh, no.
Kind of smells a little fruit roll-up-ish.
Is this so hard because I have lotion on my hands?
Well, put your hand as far down on the glass as possible so you're not smelling it. You didn't prepare properly.
I know, I'm sorry. All I'm getting is the vanilla from my lotion.
Terrible co-host. Terrible.
Sorry. It's winter, right?
If you have to, swirl it and then put it down on the table and smell.
My hands
just
are like...
Stick your head in it.
My hands are cracking. Now they're going to hear me sniffing into the microphone.
Hey, if that's what it takes.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's... Not... Like, I smell some perceptible hops, but it's not like citrusy hops.
Mm-mm.
There's a little bit of a pininess, in my opinion. Like, a slight pininess to it.
Yeah.
There's some toasted, like, roasty malts in there that's giving me like the tad, just the smallest bit of like a chocolatey hint, and I'm serious, it smells kind of like strawberry fruit roll up in there on the end of the nose.
I don't know where you're getting this.
I'm sorry, that's what I get.
Okay. Well, I'm going on to tasting.
Okay, you may taste,
because I have let you down in the smelling notes.
Better make up for it with the tasting in there, pal. Significant bitterness to
it.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of that kind of strawberry fruit roll-up-y taste I was talking about, but it's totally on the finish and it's very, very, very subtle. I get a lot of bitterness. Just bitter.
Yeah. I don't get anything else. Like, maybe a little malt and it's just bitter.
There's definitely a little chocolatey maltness to it. But there's also, I think partially because of the bitterness and the way it's interacting with the malts, a little bit of an ashy note to it.
Yeah.
Like cigarette ashes type thing. Not like I've tasted cigarette ashes, but...
Yeah. You know. How they smell.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
No. Uh-uh.
I still get that fruitiness on the end, like I was saying, a little bit of like a strawberry note. But it really finishes like very... Very dry and alcohol-ish and bitter.
How do I describe this face?
Yuck mouth.
Yuck kinda. Mouth face.
No, she's more like wincing.
Wincing, yuck mouth. Ugh.
The wince mouth.
I have nothing to say about the smell and really nothing to say about...
It's not a well-rounded beer. I feel like it just ends very... Like, it's a very unpolished beer with the way that it ends.
Well,
and
there's no complexity. It's just like one note, bitter.
I mean, I can pick out a few notes. Like I was saying, you know, I got a little bit of like a chocolatiness to it. Some of that ashiness, a little bit of that kind of like strawberry fruit roll up. But none of them are extremely substantial, you really have to reach to try and get them. Yeah, and I mean, they're not working together is the other thing. Not at all working together.
You know, there's nothing about this beer that makes you want to, like, reach for another sip or go back to it. Or, you know, that beer really had a great... No, nothing. There's nothing to fill in the blank.
Let's go back to it after we have B.
Okay. And see I'll give happens. It another chance, you know, let it warm up a little bit more. Okay.
All right, so B, we already talked about, is very, very dark.
And it has, like, the creamy head to it.
Yeah, it's very tan head to it when you swirl it up.
Which makes me... This is, like... My type of beer. Oh, I can't. Yeah, it's just like.
What do you smell on it?
The coffee, the chocolate.
Some coffee, some chocolate to it. I get a little bit of like some dark fruits on it, like a little cherry.
I get like a little licorice.
Okay, yeah. I can smell some licorice on there. Like, I get some red licorice, actually. Mm. Red licorice to go along with that cherry. But there's definitely dark fruits.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It almost, it has like the complexity to like a dark red wine.
Hey, that's actually a really good point. It does have that kind of like complex Cabernet Sauvignon type nose to it. I feel like there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm really excited to drink this.
There's a lot. Everything you said.
Okay, I brought it with this one. The other one I didn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
Did I redeem myself?
Yes.
Okay.
That sweetness from the dark fruits on the end of the nose is very interesting and intriguing to me.
It's like a dark chocolate covered cherry, like a tart cherry.
I could see that with some licorice.
Yeah, with a side of licorice. Okay.
A little licorice. All right, go ahead and try it. Let me know what you think.
It's got a real creamy.
It's very creamy when it hits your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely. There's a little bit of an ashiness to it.
Little.
In the mouth.
Not
but
like the last one.
But it's like, not like ashy, like more as like a bit of a smoke. Like a little bit of like a smoked malt note to it. And I'm definitely getting the dark fruits in there.
Really? I was just going to say, I feel like I didn't get the dark fruits. Mm. I'm hoping that this is not any sort of coffee, because I felt like I got some on the nose, but I'm not tasting any. No. So.
To me, this is more of like a bit of a smokiness. Obviously, there's a bit of a chocolatey hint to it.
Yeah.
But
it should not be a chocolate or a coffee anything. You know, they're not the...
Actually, you know what? Do this, though. It may be the smoke, that smokiness, but I think I am getting some coffee-ness to it. If you take a sip and then just kind of like push some air through your mouth after you've taken it, you know, just kind of like...
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like I get that with any dark beer. You know what I mean?
Well, but that's a part of the beer.
Right, but I mean, I don't want to see coffee on the label.
Okay, it might be. I definitely get that, like, red licorice and the cherry notes. Like, that is very pronounced in this beer. And it's pretty decent, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of liking that. And it's not, like, I feel like it's competing a little bit with that kind of smokiness. But it's not to a point where it's like real unharmonious or anything.
No, and I don't really like smoking my beer, so it's not enough for me to be like, ah, no, not my thing. It's good. Like, this is definitely I would feel like a beer that you would want to stock your fridge with, and
that's solid.
Yeah, I enjoy that one.
I'm picking up some coffee in the end of that though.
A little bit.
All right, we'll go back to A real quick.
Oh, give it a do. We have to.
There's a little more flavor in A after having B. I'm getting a little bit more of that like strawberry fruit roll up type flavor.
Okay, I'm actually finally getting that now.
Yeah, but it's not like, it's not great. It's just slight.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all I'm getting out of it. Very slight.
It's like, it's like a strawberry, just as it's like almost too ripe to eat.
Okay. Yeah, it's...
It's kind of like a mushy strawberry.
Yeah, because it's more on like just kind of like the sweet side and not on that like nice kind of like sweet versus tartness that you like with your strawberries. Yeah, I could see that. Like, it's overripe. Yeah.
Okay. After coming back to it, it's not as bad.
It's not horrendous.
No, I mean, you know? It's... It's just not something I would pay for and drink.
There's a decent amount of complexity in B.
Okay.
Okay. Well, do you know off the bat where you want to rate either of these?
Oh, what do you... I forget. Hold on. Don't shoot me. 1 to 10, right? 1 to 10. No halves.
Yeah, you got it. No halves. Correct. Oh. You can't half it. I mean, you have 10. That's basically like doing 5 stars, but you can use halves.
See, I don't, I don't like to do brutal battle ratings. I like to do my own ratings.
Well, I mean, you can do what you want, but, you know, whatever.
Okay. I'm just saying beer one.
Beer A.
I'm sorry. Oh, gosh.
Gosh, you're just like, what is wrong?
I don't know.
Okay, so beer A, what do you want to put on that?
3.
Okay, 3. I'm going to go with 2 on it because there's not a whole lot of complexity to it. It's not terrible, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to finish it, though, because I don't know.
Yeah, because we have other beers that are better on the
table. There's just kind of one note that's kind of interesting to me, and that's that kind of strawberry fruit roll-up note.
What do you like better, the warm-up beer or beer A?
Well, let me try the warm-up beer again, the Red Rooster.
I like the label. It's like a nice, like, retro, vintage-looking Red Rooster label.
I think I like the Red Rooster a little more, maybe. Because it's lighter, too.
Yeah.
I
also feel like Red Rooster is... I haven't ever really had a beer like Red Rooster.
Why is that?
I think it's just because of the dryness.
Yeah, it's really dry. It's more on the... Now that I'm drinking it more, it's more, like, kind of grainy. Just, like, a lot of, like, malt grain to it.
Like a farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so B. You know where you want to go with B here.
Let me try this one.
I'll try it again. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to throw off your ratings.
Okay.
7.
7? You like it that much?
Listen, this is what I do. Okay, if I feel like a beer is average, it's a 5.
Okay.
If I like it more than average, I go up from there.
Okay. That's fine. So you're going to put a 7 on it.
I told you you can't control me.
Okay. I'm going to go with I'm a little conflicted on this.
It's a good beer.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It is a good beer.
Are you trying to do the math to see if it's going to be like one of the top ones?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to pick apart all the different notes in it. So I'm taking more sips. Because it's intriguing to me.
It's complex. I like the... Plus, I'm just a sucker for dark beers, though, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. So. I'm going to... Actually, you know what? It's good. And I was sitting here talking about the complexity with it and how it's got those dark fruit notes that are also coming together with, like, a little bit of, like, a coffee, a little chocolate, a little bit of smoke. It is complex. And there's a lot going on. And I feel like... It's working together.
Yeah,
like
it's all those a nice, flavors are well-balanced coming together. Beer. Okay, what are you going to say?
I think I can put a 5 on it. Carlin. That's what I think I can do. That's my max on this beer.
I just don't understand how you rate beers.
Well, here's the thing. This is the 94th episode, so the rating system doesn't change.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like you've come so far that's what it is. Although you did your own thing, so.
I did my own thing.
You do what you want.
Because your rating system basically is saying this is an average beer.
Well, it depends on whatever you want the numbers to mean. And people who listen to the show enough what our numbers typically mean. You know, like Kyle Norman said before, he's like, oh, you know, you gave this beer a 3. He's like, so I would give it a 6.
Yeah.
Like, he knows.
What did he, when he was on the show, did he rate them?
He brutal battled it.
Oh, sorry.
And he talked about that. He was like, I'm brutal battling it. No, I mean, you know.
I'm sorry.
And that's the thing. Anytime I have a guest on, I tell them, you can do what you want.
I did.
But this is what the brutal battle ones are like. So
I do what I want.
Anyway.
Okay. Ooh, the big reveal. We'll find out.
You can do the reveal if you want.
What?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
You can do it. It's
No, you do it. I do it all the time. I don't need to.
Which one is which?
A is the one closest to you. Go ahead and do A.
They're even labeled. Did you label them?
Yeah, I labeled them.
Oh, okay.
Mike didn't. I labeled them.
Man, Mike really taped these.
So hold on. A.
Oh, oops, sorry.
A is the first one to be revealed. It is the loser of the episode with an overall of 2.5. So A is Dun, dun, dun. You probably just need to rip it, because, yeah. It is by... Who's it by? It's a Hebrew beer that's by Schmaltz Brewing. And Schmaltz Brewing is out of... Where are they out of? Clifton Park, New York. This is their Hanukkah beer. And it is a... pass the beer is what it says. It says Hanukkah, pass the beer. Dark ale brewed with 8 malts, 8 hops, and it's 8% alcohol by volume.
Oh, that's funny. 8 for
Hanukkah, the days on Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, this is the first time I've done it. Says it's first edition 2014.
Keep working on that one.
What?
The beer.
Oh. No matter how you spell it, you now hold the official chosen beer of this holiday season. After 18 years of schmaltz, we thought it was finally time to release a beer specifically to celebrate all the miracles of the 8 crazy nights. We hope our fermented creation will bring some light to the winter darkness and pair perfectly with the latkes and the battle royale of dreidels. Pass some Hanukkah beer over to your favorite friends and family, and delight in the warming of the season. L'chaim. Keep working. we weren't huge on that one. I am kind of intrigued by that, that like strawberry fruit roll-up note, though. That is interesting to me. So I'm up in the air whether I'm going to finish it or not. What are you looking at?
I wanted to see if it was kosher. It is.
Oh, well, I mean.
I don't.
It's all about, yeah, you can assume. You can assume. That's true. But it is kosher.
It is kosher.
Okay.
It is a kosher Although, I don't product. Know about this kosher symbol. I've never seen it before.
Oh, maybe it's their own take on a kosher symbol. That's possible.
Not that I know that many kosher symbols, but I do work at a Jewish hospital.
Well, there you go. All right. Well.
Oh, I'm so excited.
There you go. The Hanukkah beer. By small. All right. The winner with an overall of 6 is...
Wait.
Man, you're making all sorts of noise.
Sorry.
Oh, Old Rasputin by North Coast. Yes, this is a beer that we've had on the show.
What did it get before?
No. We haven't had it on as an actual entrant, I don't believe. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure we didn't. We definitely had it in as a part of a beer knife fight. And then we were like, oh, we think this would do well. North Coast is out of Fort Bragg, California. Old Rasputin is 9%. Alcohol by volume.
Oh, wow. I would not have guessed that.
That is hidden well, I will say. Russian Imperial Stout. And here's the thing with me and Old Rasputin. I feel like every time I drink it, it tastes kind of different.
Yeah. I don't remember it tasting like this.
I don't really recall all those dark fruits being so forward in the beer. And this in particular bottle is like very dark fruit forward.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, when I've had Old Rasputin, it's more of like the chocolatey coffee type notes that dominate. And you get that kind of like dark fruit, like way on the back, if at all. But something may be said for how old it is. You know, I don't know if there's a date on there anywhere. But mm-hmm. as you age malty beers, especially like Russian Imperial Stouts, the profile changes. So it is possible that at one point it's very like dark and roasty and chocolatey and coffee-y, and then if it ages, it becomes more fruit forward or vice versa.
Yeah, I was going to say, or the other way around.
Yeah, so.
Well, I'm just glad that it doesn't say coffee or chocolate on the label because.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Draw your own conclusions about what that necessarily
right,
means.
Exactly.
But, yeah, 9%. Well
oh,
hidden.
Oh, well hidden.
Yeah,
it's oh, pretty I want, good. Oh, there's no more.
No, what you have in your glass
Aww.
Is it. But I have some extra in my glass, so if you're nice, maybe I'll share.
I'll be so nice.
Yeah, but I'm not going to barter for your Hanukkah beer, just to make that clear.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe barter to like finish the Red Rooster, I don't know.
We'll figure it out, we have enough beer in the house.
Yeah, we have enough beer. If we really want to, we can even open something else. Who knows? Get crazy.
Woo,
get
crazy. On a Tuesday night.
Yes, this is a Tuesday night. Anyway, thank you very much for being on, Rebecca.
Well, thanks for having me again.
I'm glad you were able to give your 2 cents on the 10-barrel ordeal.
Yeah.
So, thanks so much. Everybody listening, thank you for listening. Please stick around for other episodes. We're going to have someone different on after this. You know, that's what we keep doing. We keep switching people up. But Rebecca will be back for another brewery showcase episode relatively soon, within a few episodes. So, and we've already picked out the brewery, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
I forget what brewery we picked out.
Well, we did Victory last time, and we did three of their staple beers and then one of their special beers. But this time we're doing...
Oh, yes. Okay, now I know what we're doing.
This time we're doing a brewery that's not from the immediate, you know, Pennsylvania, Maryland area. And it's going to be different because it'll be one of their staple beers and three of their special beers. So it's going to be very fun for us, at least, for the two of us.
Always a good time.
Yeah, so just to tease it, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. Anyway, check us out. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. You can check out the website, brutalbattle.com. I'm on Twitter, at brutalbattle. I'm on Untappd. I'm Carlin on Untappd, Carlin Cook. Rebecca, are you on Untappd?
I am on Untappd.
Who are you on Untappd?
Oh, gosh. Rebecca, I have no Cook? Idea.
Probably. Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, while you figure that out, I'll plug more.
I have no idea. How do I have no... Oh, Rebecca C?
Rebecca C. There you go. Check her out on Untappd. Yeah, she's Rebecca C. We
send
also...
me, you know what? Send me some email. But, like, attention, Rebecca. Tell me what beers you want me to throw in as mystery beers.
And you can do that at brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page. You can just look for it. It's just facebook.com/brutalbattle. Also, I've been doing these little fun videos called Brutal Battle Beer Break. Those are available on YouTube. You can just search Brutal Battle or Brutal Battle Beer Break. And there are, I think at the moment, 20-some, maybe even 30 episodes at this point. It's hard to tell when this airs how many I'll have up. But I'm always throwing up new interesting stuff, and they're like 5-minute or less videos, so it doesn't take a whole lot of time to watch.
Hold on, can I say something really funny?
Hey, go ahead.
Well, okay, it's not really that funny, but... So, I just went on Untappd to try to find out what my name was, and I see that Kyle Norman just had Old Rasputin yesterday.
Oh, look at that. Kyle Norman, you're psychic.
Yeah.
Your beer drinking is psychic. Anyway, thank you everyone so much. Thank you, Rebecca. And please don't forget to...
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.